Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. The Free State of Glory, Part 48, Those Within and Those Without. This is a happy and sad message. This is also part 6 in this series. The Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 22, verses 13 through 15. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So I think that if you would trust him as Savior, you'll be all right. Amen, somebody. The first and the last. I think that if you're in him, you're all right and you will be all right. For he said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am A through Z. So anything that you can make up out of those letters, I am it. I can do it. I can make it happen. I am everything. I am everything you need. I am everybody you need. For I am somebody. Jesus is really the only somebody who could say what Jesse Jackson led a bunch of black folks to say back in the 60s when he would raise his fists at the end of his speech. Jesse Jackson, who now has Parkinson's disease, used to raise his right fist with an afro. He was the first Kaepernick. And he would say, I am somebody. And the people would repeat in a church-like fashion, I am somebody. And then he would say it again, I am somebody. And the folks would say, I am somebody. Jesus, Daniel, Ezekiel, is the only one who could legitimately say that I am somebody, because I am Alpha and Omega. You don't say stuff like that unless you are the beginning and the end. I'm everything. When you have Jesus, you have everything. The first and the last. So basically, Jesus could have come out of that and said, what? What? Any questions? Any concerns? Any part of this you don't understand? I can help you. Amen, somebody. Verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. These are they who have trusted Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. These are they who have been born again, who keep the commandments of God. These are they who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen, somebody. These are they who have been saved by God's grace. These are not they who think they can work their way to heaven. These are not they who think that they can march their way to heaven and fight for great causes. These are not they who can climb up, who think they can climb up some other way, led by the devil. They must come through Jesus Christ, the door of heaven, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Verse 15, the flip side of that. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers. I will admit to you today, and I have admitted to you in the past, I was a dog and I was a whoremonger. I've never been a sorcerer, thanks be to God, even though I did dabble in the horoscopes in the newspaper when I was an ignorant and stupid child. And thanks be to God, I'm not one of these, and that is a murderer. I've never thought about murdering anybody. I hope that you have never thought about it. I hope that that will never be on my record. But we're going to deal with murderers today, and then idolaters next week, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you. And your praise will forever be on our lips according to the song, we like it. And we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, your Holy Word. And we say with Peter on that wonderful day when he and others were on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is good for us to be here. While everybody is racing to the mall and racing to the racing track and racing to the football game at the college stadium, while everybody else and many others rather are shopping and buying and building and digging and doing everything else, Lord, you have us here in your chapel to hear from your holy word and to share it with others who we're able to catch by your might and power and your technology as they race on their way in life with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with a fair warning that if they don't trust Christ as Savior, they will go to this awful place called hell and the lake of fire. Lord, help us to make it plain. Grant us fresh anointing, unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit, regardless of how we might feel physically. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this meeting and from your people. Cast out the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness that lurks all around us. And Lord, remove it from this place and have your holy gospel and your holy word to go forward. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. It's green tea, folks. I got to have it. I feel weak, but that's okay. It's not coffee. I haven't had coffee in almost 21 days. I can't sing, but I'm so touched by the Holy Spirit of God, I feel like singing. I wish I could sing like my dad. I believe I can out-preach him, but I can't out-sing him. When you can't sing, you just can't sing. There's no training that can help you. There's no school to go to. I don't care if you go to Juilliard. If you can't sing, if you were not born with that gift, you can't sing. Daniel, Ezekiel, stay focused. But I feel like singing. I thank God I got a song in my heart. You can look at some of the faces in our congregation here today. This, please, please don't make us sing another song. But I have that kind of bubbling up joy in my soul and in my spirit. And I hope you have the same. At the end of this song, I'm going to have the maestro to play that song, Your Praise Will Forever Be On My Lips. Amen, somebody. But before we do that, we have some business to tend to. Because singing is one thing, and preaching is an entirely other thing. The Free State of Glory, Part 48. Those Within and Those Without, Part 6. Beloved, in John 10:10, Jesus Christ declared, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When man sinned, he immediately experienced spiritual death. Sin brings about a death sentence, my beloved. In God's sight, God cannot tolerate that. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. God hates sin. He cannot look upon it with his holy eyes. He is offended by our sin. And so therefore we must die. He began the process of physical death. And if he continues in sin, that is man, he eventually experiences eternal death in an awful place called hell. I preach about it a lot because most preachers don't preach on it at all. Tomorrow morning you can go to any number of churches and the word hell will never be mentioned, and they don't realize that's why that church is there, taking up space on that property to be a warning sign to a dying and lost world, to remind people that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Don't worry about that, folks on Facebook Live. The devil is mad because I'm preaching on hell, and he'll use anything and anybody to try to stop the preaching of the gospel. We're under constant attack because we're warning people of the hell that they should shun and the heaven that they should gain by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those who are within the city, the New Jerusalem, all three types of death are reversed. Praise be to God. We as the saints of God, the Christians, believers in Christ, this thing called death will be reversed. in the New Jerusalem, and we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We deserve hell like everybody else, but we chose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. But it has been reversed for all believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Jerusalem, we will be spiritually alive because of our relationship with Christ. We will be physically alive with new resurrection bodies, and we will be eternally alive, living with God forever and ever. You say, "Preacher, how can that happen for you all?" Simply because we believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And because he lives, we can live also, because we're in him. And you need to get in him. You need to get on board the grand old ship Zion. You need to be born again. You need to trust Christ as your Savior so that you can be within. Amen, somebody. So, beloved, it makes sense that the next type of person mentioned as being without the city of God, the New Jerusalem, is a murderer. The word murder means one who kills another intentionally, or one who commits homicide. More pointedly and more clearly, according to Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, although the Israelites did not have a term that precisely fits our present-day idea of murder, they differentiated among killing, manslaughter, and murder in their legal terminology, much like we do today in our system of law. The Hebrew word that was used in the sixth commandment for kill or murder was the somewhat rare term rasa, although its exact meaning has defied explanation. In other contexts, it could refer to killing that was inherently evil. The death penalty was posed for one who killed with premeditation, but not for accidental manslaughter. In fact, premeditated murder did not require a trial. Thus, the Old Testament saw a fundamental difference between the two types of homicide, providing two levels of meaning for rasa. Although the New Testament writers lived in a different legal environment, they were consistent in their view of murder with their Old Testament counterparts. Jesus interpreted the sixth commandment differently than the contemporary Jewish scholars, who had a narrowly literal view and agreed with the spirit of the Old Testament law on homicide. The death of Christ was the supreme example of murder in the scriptures. Oh, but before I continue with this definition, let me be clear on who murdered Jesus. It was not just Rome. And when I say Rome, I'm saying it in the sense the newspapers say Washington. When something comes down, they'll say Washington or the White House. That's right, Caesar killed Jesus, murdered Jesus, for he was under his broad jurisdiction. More pointedly, Pilate murdered Jesus. The religious leaders of the Jews, yes, murdered Jesus. My God, forgive us, for we know not what we did. Oh, but we're not done. For you and I murdered Jesus. Our sins nailed him to the cross. So yes, in a sense, I am a murderer, and you are a murderer as well. You say, preacher, I'm offended. How dare you say that to me? Because you're a murderer. You murdered Jesus. You murdered the innocent Lamb of God. You say, preacher, I'm just going to cut you off. I am not going to sit here and listen to you call me a murderer of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a murderer. And I am too. We all murdered Jesus, who never committed one sin in his life. Our sins nailed him to the cross. You say, preacher, I'm uncomfortable. That's okay. That's why I'm here, to make you uncomfortable. Christ was symbolized, as we continue, as the slaughtered lamb, signifying his humble obedience and innocence. He didn't say a mumbling word, as the old preachers used to say. I don't know how accurate all that is, but we understand the point. He was humble. He was meek. He took it. He willingly died for your sins and for mine. And our sins killed him and put him on the tree. And so we have committed the sin of murder. According to the Oxford Dictionary of the English language, murder is the unlawful premeditated killing of one human being by another. That's what murder is, precisely. So, beloved, every day we read stories of men and women taking the lives of other people, murdering other people, plotting it, planning it, sometimes slowly doing it, like the wife who slowly poisoned her husband to death because she wanted that insurance policy. The husband who took out an insurance policy on his wife for $500,000 and then proceeded to kill her himself and to make it seem like an accident. Murder. The discouraged, defeated, sad, distraught, depressed husband who is so depressed that he plots and plans the murder of his wife, the murder of his children, and then the murder of himself. It just happened this past week. I'm not bringing up anything that's hypothetical. Family disputes have ended in murder. Terrorists perpetrate acts of indiscriminate murder on innocent people. Mass murderers, like the one who killed 26 people in a Texas church 2 weekends ago. End lives on a large and horrific scale. Like a man who they say snapped, but he in a premeditated fashion killed 50 plus people and injured many others in Las Vegas just a few weeks ago. It's happening all around us. And by the way, guns don't kill people. We were told yesterday that an old man was talking to his wife in a church about gun safety and about the murder in Texas. And somehow the gun went off and killed his wife. I don't know what's going on there. I hope to God this is an innocent situation. And if it is, that would not be considered murder. That would be considered manslaughter, but he still has to pay. But somebody ought to investigate something and not just take his word for it. In Genesis, beloved, we read that God breathed into man the breath of life. So no man has the right to end that breath. Can somebody say amen? And people who do this, people who have done it, Charles Manson, they say, is on his deathbed after killing others, demonically controlled, demon-possessed, looks like a demon, and I don't care if he likes it. He's going to hell if he does not hurry up and trust Christ. And I pray that every evangelist and every preacher nearby will reach out to him while he's in the hospital and try to lead him to Jesus. The taking of this life at the hands of another sinful man is an irreversible crime and an assault on God's image, which every human being is made in. Amen, somebody. But God's going to get not only these murderers who kill adults and kill children who are living on earth. Oh, but God's got something for all of you out there who repeatedly kill unborn babies. You murder unborn babies in abortion. You are the worst kind of murderer. You're killing a child. You're killing a baby before you're killing an adult before they get a chance to see the sun, smothering them in their own blood, choking them, shooting needles in them, and murdering them. You lying devil, you hypocrite. You phony. You say, well, that's abortion. That's not murder. Why do you feel guilty? Why do you see that baby's face in your mind while you're asleep at night? Why do you hear that baby screaming in your ear? In the dark and black night, you can't sleep. Why do you have that nagging pain in your soul that won't go away? Because you murdered an innocent baby. There's no other way to put it. I can't put that nice. I know you want me to, but I can't put that nice. You say, show some mercy, preacher. I can't put it any other way. You need to cry out to God for mercy. I can't give you any mercy. Taking a life is the opposite of God's will. In John 10, Jesus said that Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil deals in death. And those who traffic death like him, or traffic in death like him, will not have a place in the New Jerusalem. Can somebody say amen and agree with that? No, no, no. Unless you trust Christ as Savior and get under the blood of Jesus. It is amazing what the blood of Jesus will do. I cannot explain it, but it is amazing. Because, see, through the blood of Jesus, he can wash away the sin and a whole lot of other things connected with the sin. I can't get into it right now. I don't understand it all, but it happens. And so, beloved, within the walls of the New Jerusalem is life. And there's no death there. And those who enjoy life and life more abundantly. Amen, somebody. Now, beloved, with that said, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? You say, preacher, I've never murdered anybody, so I'm a pretty good fella. Isn't that right? No, no, no. You're still on your way to hell if you believe that. See, all saved people believe that they're bad. There's not a truly born again Christian who will tell you that they're good. They can't even fix their mouth to say that. They'll laugh you to scorn if you tell them that, oh, you're so good, you're a good person. No. They will tell you, no, I got saved because I'm a bad person. You say, well, preacher, I've never murdered anybody, so other than you said I murdered Jesus, okay, I understand what you're trying to go there theologically, but I've never murdered anybody. Well, have you gossiped about somebody? Have you murdered somebody's reputation? Talking about them behind their back, lying on them, making up stuff on them. You're a murderer too in another sense. And so, beloved, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be condemned to remain without the gates of heaven. You will be without. You will not be within the beloved Christian community of the saints. And make sure you are within by placing your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Allow me to show you how you can do that right now. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell as I speak. You don't have to commit another sin to go to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of darkness, and hell is a place without God. That's the bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul and to change your life. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shall be saved. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Receive the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. I don't care where you are, or who you're with, or what you've done in the past. Just put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save your soul from hell and change your life. Because when you're in Jesus, you have everything you will ever need. Would you pray with me right now? Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart if you want to be saved. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have broken your laws and your commandments. I have lied before. I am even living a lie now. I have stolen things before. I've coveted other people's spouses and houses and cars. And I've committed other sins. I've been disobedient to my parents. I have not honored them. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins and of the commandments that I have broken. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you just received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried, and rose again, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Until next time.